I actually priced out the flights. I did a screen capture of them. The flights round trip would have been $25,646 off of the business class flights, which was fabulous. And then the hotels for Europe peak summer, it was about $1,500 savings on those hotels.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Lisa Wolf, a Points Accelerator student. And today we are sharing another example of how everyday people, that is, people who aren't necessarily full-time points content creators, earn and redeem points to save tens of thousands of dollars on travel. Lisa began her points journey with a United Airlines credit card several years ago. Over the last 2.5 years, she has definitely leveled up her game, and I am so proud of everything that she has accomplished lately. In this episode, expect to hear about how Lisa upgraded a United Premium Economy flight to business class, Lisa's upcoming family trip to Asia in business class, strategies Lisa uses to replenish her points bank, and so much more. If you want to experience business class flying on United Polaris like Lisa, consider the United Explorer card. The sign-up bonus from this card could be enough for a United Polaris flight, and by having the card, you get access to exclusive hidden award space on United. Remember, if you decide to apply for the United Explorer card or any other card, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. If you are interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. And if you're interested in joining the Points Accelerator so you can save tens of thousands of dollars on luxury travel as well, join the waitlist at geobreezetravel.com/waitlist. And we have links to the United Explorer card and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. Hey, Lisa, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
I am so excited to have you here and to talk about all of the cool trips that you've been able to take on points. Before we jump in, tell us about your background. How did you get into the world of points?
I've been into traveling in general for a long time, but points and miles is a relatively newer hobby for my husband and I. My kids are now 13 and 15, and we've been traveling with them since they were babies. But I'd say during the pandemic, I became somewhat more interested in points and miles. We'd always done cashback cards prior to that, but my husband did work travel, so we used points a little before that. But that's when I decided, hey, let's see about, you had United points before, let's get a United card. So we started to get a little more into that there. We had redeemed some United miles and Marriott miles. And then I'd say about 2 years ago, I decided I really wanted to learn more. And I started looking for Facebook groups and podcasts. And that's actually how I found you and eventually the Points Accelerator.
You mentioned your husband did some work travel and then you guys tacked on family travel as part of that. What do you guys do for work and how do you incorporate it into earning points and also redeeming points?
I'm an attorney for the government, and my husband is a software engineer. For the first, I'd say, 15 years we were married, he would probably do twice a month trips to either Boston or New York City, and he would take a flight and he would stay at a hotel as part of that. So he used to regularly earn a decent amount of points and miles doing that. Then since 2020, his company has essentially put a pause on all work travel. So that points train came to an end. And that's when I began to look to supplement that. I don't really travel for work. I work from home 90% of the time. So most of the points earning that I do comes from our daily spend. We have a fairly, I'd say, high spend. We own 3 houses and we have 4 timeshare properties. So just maintaining all of that and dues for those kinds of things right there is a good bit of spend where I can try to get some points out of that. And I've been using a lot of that for that purpose.
When you were first getting started with points and you were like, the gravy train of work travel is coming to a stop, what were some of the mistakes that you made in the beginning where you want to tell our listeners, hey kids, don't do what I did?
I didn't realize, I would say, the cancellation policies necessarily with some of the properties. And we got caught up last winter in that great Southwest travel debacle. And we had a points hotel scheduled at one of the ski resorts out there. And I'm like, oh, most of the places you can cancel within a day or two and you get your points back. So I'm like, oh, this is great because we were going to stay somewhere else first and then go there. And I go to try to cancel the hotel and it was on points. So Southwest wasn't reimbursing me for points. If we had paid for the hotel, they likely would have given me my money back. But it was a points hotel. And I contact them and they're like, nope. All hotels in the ski area, 30 days notice or no cancellation, no matter what you're doing. So there's your Hyatt out in Park City. You're not getting your points back. Bye-bye, 100,000 points that you used Christmas week for your travel. So that was a very sad loss. And I did not insure the points trip. So there went my 100,000 ultimate rewards points transferred from Chase to Hyatt for that trip. So that was a disappointment. And the airline was pretty good about reimbursing many people for the nightmare that was Christmas 2022. That did not come back to me. So that was just an unfortunate loss of many points.
Well, that sucks. I'm so sorry. Yeah, those non-refundable rates, everyone is always just like, oh, I think I should go for the non-refundable because I'll save like a few dozen dollars a night or something like that. And we're definitely going on this trip. Like, I don't change my mind last minute. I'm not a flaky vacationer. We're going to take the trip. But some things are out of your control. And yeah, paying attention to those cancellation policies, that can be a break it.
Yeah. If they would have had a cancelable rate, I would have been happy to do it. But yeah, I didn't even think about it for that one. That was one of my very first big points bookings. And I didn't even think to look at that when I booked it. So yeah, that was definitely a lesson learned to make sure you are paying close attention to the cancellation policy for whatever hotel it is before you hit the book now button when you're doing points. Because I'm like, oh, points are refundable in most cases, not in all of them.
Yes, not in every case. I would never say never because there's always like some weird edge case in the world of points. You mentioned you have 4 timeshares as well. How does that work well with your points strategy other than paying for the timeshares and earning points on that? Do you have to schedule your flights around the timeshare schedule?
They're all Disney Vacation Club properties, so they're fairly flexible in when you can use them. But the only nonstops really to Orlando from, we live in Pittsburgh, is Southwest. So we've been using our Southwest points and companion passes for those particular flights. And I've actually used those timeshares also as a side hustle. I rent out some of the points from those contracts to cover extra income, and it's my side business as well at times. So it's also a cash flow generator and a way to justify a business card. So that's worked in that way too for me to feel as though I can at least qualify for the business cards without having no business whatsoever. It's been good for that. And then, yeah, the points, I can either use the Chase Inc. 5X to buy gift cards to pay for the dues or use a card that has extra spend on travel or to meet a sign up bonus when I need to for those. I can use them for all 3 of those different points earnings possibilities.
You can use a Chase Inc. business cash to buy Disney gift cards from Staples and then use those for timeshare fees?
You can use them right in the Disney portal to pay my fees.
Oh, that is amazing. That is a really good way to earn 5X points for people who are in the DVC ecosystem, and also a really good idea for renting out those different properties to get some business cards, because business cards are where the big points are. And a lot of people are like, oh, I can just resell stuff on eBay or Poshmark or something. But if you can find a side business that actually has good cash flows, like this is already an asset that you guys have, then that is all the better for getting more business cards out of that too. Perfect. So when you first started getting into this game, how's Phil about it? Was he like, yeah, I mean, work's not paying for travel anymore. We got to travel. Let's do this. Or was he like, oh God, no.
He looked at me a little crazy and he wants nothing to do with it. He wants a card. So I actually recently got him that Chase Unlimited card so he can just have that one card for the next year and do nothing except use that. But you want to apply for them, Lisa, and you want to manage them and you want to put it in my name, that's fine. But I want nothing to do with knowing what to do. You give me a card, you tell me to use it, and that's the end of the travel hacking that he is going to do. So everything else is on me. So he will support me doing it, but he does not want to be involved with it at all.
We hear a lot of player twos are like that, but at least he is supportive of you guys being in the game and earning a lot of points and redeeming them for vacations. What were some of the first trips that you were able to use your points on where you were like, wow, this is really sustainable. This is a great way to take family vacations going forward.
I'd say the first really big trip we did that was pretty much completely on points as far as flights and everything was this past summer. We did 2 weeks in Europe. We're cruise people. We like cruises. So we flew to Europe and I used... This was whenever I booked these, Air France was still the lowest you could get, at least the lowest I was able to find was 60,000 points each way. They've since, I think, dropped it to 50,000, but we were able to do 60,000 each way. I got Virgin one way and Air France the other way out of DC, in and out of London. I know it's cheaper if you go to Paris, but I wanted easy. So we did London each way and I just paid the slightly higher fees that went with London. We used hotel points when we got there in London. We did a Sheraton and then in London. And then we went down to Southampton eventually for the cruise, stayed at a Holiday Inn there on a IHG points, then did a week's cruise to Norway, came back, did a week's cruise with my sister to France and Spain, then came back and used Hilton points, did a couple more nights in London, and then flew home on Air France. And that was 240,000 Air France points each way for the flights. So about 480,000 total round trip business class both ways. And we were on the old Virgin configuration, not the new nice one. We were on the herringbone configuration. So I didn't love that. But I really enjoyed the Air France flight going the other way. But yeah, we had Marriott points and a free night certificate for the Sheraton Hotel. And then we used Hilton points from a Hilton card my husband had opened for the Hilton Hotel that we used on the way back. And then the Holiday Inn wasn't anything special, but we enjoyed it and it was convenient. It was right at the port. So you could not get more convenient than that for that part of the trip. And we absolutely loved it. We did Windsor, we did Eton, we did Stonehenge, we did some time at the British Museum, we did all that fun stuff. And then the money that we saved doing that, we did some fabulous excursions, particularly in Norway while we were on that cruise. It was absolutely wonderful.
How much do you think you saved versus the sticker price of these flights and these hotels? If you had to pay for everything out of pocket, do you know how much that trip would have cost?
I actually priced out the flights. I did a screen capture of them. The flights round trip would have been $25,646. Since it was London, we spent $2,000 in taxes and fees. It would have been cheaper had I flown in and out of France, but I just didn't want to deal with that. Just the flights alone, we saved about $23,600 off of the business class flights, which was fabulous. And then the hotels for Europe peak summer, it was about $1,500 savings on those hotels. Because it was with my kids being older, being a teen and a tween, we did two rooms in each place we did. So if it was four nights at hotels, it was a good $300 a room. So it was $1,500 to $1,800 for those rooms.
That is an amazing amount of savings, $25,000, $26,000 or more. You mentioned a couple times how you could have saved money by flying out of France, but you wanted convenience instead. How do you walk through those different decisions? Because I know a lot of people, as they approach the game of points and miles, are always like, I have to minimize cost. I have to get as close to free as possible. Other people on the internet are getting this for seemingly free. There's like taxes, there are hundreds of dollars. How do you take into account all of these different variables when you're making decisions for how to book a flight on points?
I think for me, it's the attorney in me coming out, and time is money. And I don't want to spend the extra time doing the travel and, you know, wasting what would essentially be a half day taking the train to have to get into Paris and then getting from the train station to the airport or whatnot. Yes, we could have had a day in Paris, but we wanted to spend that extra time exploring the countryside of London. We can do a trip to Paris later. So when I'm in England, I wanted to spend the time focusing on England, because we did some time in France exploring Normandy and Honfleur and La Rochelle and other parts of France. So this trip, with the time that we were on land once the ship landed, we wanted to spend time exploring England. Extra money cost for us wasn't the deciding factor for us. We wanted the enjoyment of where we were while we were there. So for us, that was more important at the time.
Yeah, I really like how you're looking at that, because a lot of people are always like, minimize cost at all costs. And at some point, I would recommend people just take a step back and say, okay, it's an extra $500 per person in fees. For $500, would you rather have an extra day of vacation to just spend it as you like, rather than being in transit in layovers that you might not necessarily enjoy? Is that how you want to spend your time? And if some people are like, I don't have the extra $500, we're going to do what we're going to do. No shade. That's a perfectly fine decision. I just want everybody to go in their eyes wide open and say that minimizing cost at all costs is not necessarily how I would recommend planning vacations. We remind people all the time on this podcast that points and miles is supposed to be fun and it's supposed to bring you joy. It's not supposed to bring you another source of stress in your life. So if you are able to use points and miles to take the trips that you want to take, just consider it as a win. Even if you have to pay $400 in fees, if you are getting a $25,000 trip and you're having to pay an extra $500, as long as it's in your budget, you're fine. And if another $500 is going to wreck the budget, you don't have to get a $25,000 flight. You are still completely like a points winner. If all wins are wins. If all your family can do is like, all your family can do is save $5,000 instead of $25,000. I just like to remind people every once in a while, that's okay. That's more than okay. You are winning so hard if you are saving $5,000 or any amount of money by using your points.
Yeah, I did another trip with my girlfriend this May. She booked a cruise out of Lisbon and she's like, Lisa, do you want to come with me? And I'm like, let me make sure I have the vacation days. And I did. So I'm like, oh, this is great. So I did a British Airways flight from Pittsburgh to Lisbon over there. And I used points for an economy ticket and I sucked it up at the back of the plane and I survived. And that was $200 in fees and 25,000 British Airways points. I'm like, okay, this is great. Then on the way home, I was looking around for a flight and I had United points and I'm like, it was 45,000 for premium economy and economy was 60,000. So I'm like, oh, what the heck? Why book premium economy? That's great. And I was able to get an upgrade on the way home, day of check-in for $500 to business class. And I'm like, oh, well, this is fabulous. So $500 was well worth it for me to be able to switch from premium economy to business class. I don't know how often those become available, but I jumped at the chance for an extra $500 to have the lay flat seat for a 10-hour flight. Figure $50 an hour is well worth it.
Oh, for sure. I would take that deal in a heartbeat. How do you find these upgrades? Because people ask about this all the time where they're like, how do I book economy on whatever points and money I have and then maybe upgrade later? How do you do that with United?
Well, I had been checking from the time I booked that ticket in March and then we flew in May, I had been checking daily and daily it was like $3,000 for an upgrade. It was in the app. They had a place where you can check pay to upgrade. And I'm like, oh, heck no, I'm not paying $3,000. And then when it went the day of check-in, I looked again and it said $500. And I'm like, this I will pay for. I'm like, please take my credit card, United, and take my money. So yeah, like the price had been insane for an upgrade, or not insane. It wasn't terrible, but I mean, that upgrade was essentially normal price. So I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to pay for normal price. But yeah, when it came down to $500, I'm like, okay, this is great. So yeah, so 45,000 miles and the fee for that, I think was $150 and then the extra $500. So it was 45,000 miles and roughly $650 for that flight. I thought that I was okay with. That I was okay with for a much more comfortable experience on Polaris.
Do you have United status or a United credit card or anything that gives you access to these, or it should just be
I have the $95 credit card. And yeah, this was a $95 credit card special, the 45,000 miles for the premium economy. That was a credit card holder. One of those, they give you, I think, slightly extra access to the saver space than what you get if you have no credit card at all. So this was one of the credit card holder deals. I have status with American. I don't have status with United. But United happened to have the decent deal on a flight out of Barcelona, so I used them.
Yeah, I think it's one of the few credit cards, the only one I know of actually, where by having the co-branded credit card, the $95 United Explorer card, you do get access to more award space than someone who doesn't have the card. And I was talking with Tiffany from Point Me about this, and I think that could be something that we see more of in the future if people are like, how do I get access to more award space? I think it would be interesting if a lot of the airlines were like, oh, well, if you have our co-branded credit card, you have access to more award space, especially premium cabins versus people who don't have our co-branded credit card. That could be something interesting in the future as well. But good to know that if you have that $95 card, you can get access to more saver award space in premium economy or economy, and it could also make you eligible for those last minute upgrades. Keeping in mind, though, that you do have to be prepared for worst case scenario. And that case would be just flying premium economy on the way home, just in case business class gets sold out or they are not offering any of those upgrades. You can't really force it, which I think a lot of people want some kind of guarantee of, can I book premium economy now and then book an upgrade later? Not a guarantee.
I didn't mind their premium economy product. I've flown it from Italy before, and it's not bad. It's much better than the British Airways economy, I can tell you that.
How would you compare the different products that you've flown so far with, like, business class, premium economy, economy? Is there somewhere you're like, oh my God, you must experience this in your life, and others where you're like, you must avoid it at all costs?
I've only done 3 business class so far. It's been Polaris, it's been the Air France, and been the Virgin. And the Virgin was the worst of them. I've heard that the new product is really nice, but I cannot say I loved the herringbone configuration that we had. I liked the bar, and I liked the surface was fabulous, but the actual seats were, I did not love those. I enjoyed the Air France and I enjoyed the Polaris. Both of those were nice. I've done 2 Polaris flights and the 1 Air France flight. And we're doing the Dreamliner to Honolulu in July. And I'm really excited to try that on Hawaiian Airlines. I was able to grab those seats when they became available about 6 months ago for the new product they're going to be launching out of LAX. So I'm really excited to try it out.
How did you find that award space? That is exclusive award space to Hawaii.
I got an alert from Spencer Howard's the Straight to the Points alert. And yeah, whenever he sent that out, the business class lay flat seats were the same price as economy. They were both 40,000 points. So I was like grabbing these seats because we already had a trip planned to Hawaii for 2 weeks. So it was fabulous. I'm like, this is great. They had them open for the dates we were going and I jumped on it. It was $160,000 for all 4 of us to do the lay flat seats to Honolulu out of LA.
Yeah, 160,000 points, you said?
For all 4 of us, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a really, really good price. That's the next trip that you guys are taking, right?
That's our next big trip. We're going in July.
So with all of these different trips that you've booked so far, have you seen your points bank kind of dwindle down to a concerning level, or are you able to replenish your points?
Right now in hoarding mode for the next big trip I'm starting to plan for. But yeah, so I've been trying to build back up. I don't want to open an insane amount of cards. So I'm trying to do, I'd say 3 to 4 for me and 3 to 4 for my husband per year for signup bonuses. So I don't want to be a crazy person opening 10,000 cards. So like right now I'm working on a spend for the Amex Business Gold. So I'm trying to maximize that. I'm doing a little bit with buying groups, but not a lot, but working on the whenever they happen to have something that comes up with electronics stores to get the 4X on electronics category with that, jumping on that and then adding in a little other spend here and there to try to hit that in the 3-month period. And then I'll figure out what I'm going to open next from there.
Yeah. What are your strategies for replenishing your points bank without opening 20 cards a year?
I'm focusing a lot on using Rakuten for American Express points. As I said, I've been working with American Airlines to keep status. I'm using their portal a lot with that. I've been doing a lot of, like, try to do some stacking when I can with different offers that are available on the different credit cards. And I've been paying a lot of attention to category spend if I can, to try to use the right card for the right category to maximize the 3X categories when I can, the 2X, the 5, the 3X. And I'm a big fan of the Chase Inc. Cash 5X on office supply stores to fill in what I need when I can with whatever targeted gift cards I might need to add into different things. So I've been really trying to do that to increase the ultimate rewards when I can.
Yeah, with 4 DVC timeshares and getting 5 points per dollar there, I'm still not over like how good of a hack that is, because 4 DVC timeshares will add up in costs for a year. And if it's within your budget, that's amazing. But even for people who have one of these or just are taking a Disney trip and you want to load up on Disney gift cards at Staples and get 5 points per dollar there.
We have annual passes too. So just paying for those, I mean, that right there is $4,000 a year that I'm using gift cards to pay for. So yeah, just that alone, those add up really quick. If you're buying the tickets and everything else, I have no problem hitting that $25,000. Since we're out of state, it's more expensive.
$4,000 for the family times 5 points per dollar, 20,000 points, easy right there. That covers a Hyatt night. Any other trips that you are planning to take in the future? I know you mentioned you're in hoarding mode and we all know not to hoard for too long. So what's the next trip that you are getting ready to redeem for?
It's Christmas 2025, but we're going to be doing a big trip to Asia. As I said, we're cruise people. So we're doing a cruise from Bali, Indonesia over to Singapore. So we're going to be doing flights into Bali and out of Singapore. And we want to do the Singapore Airlines, Singapore straight to JFK. So right there, that's a large number of points just for that flight business class. And then we need to get to Bali. And Lisa's not doing anything that's going to be 18 hours of flying unless I'm laying down. So we are going to need a good number of points to get to and from Asia. So I'm in hoarding mode, trying to plot out how we are going to be doing that. And then hotels on either end while we're going to be there. So we're going to do time in Bali beforehand and time in Singapore after. So that's the next big trip I'm plotting for.
That sounds like an incredible trip. I am so excited to hear about when you guys take that one. And I think you're going to love Singapore, especially, yeah, business class in Singapore, I think is my favorite of all the different products I've flown. And I've flown them the most, I think 3 times on their business class product. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know Air Canada is cheaper, but at least when I've been tracking their flights now, I have not seen the nonstop come up as an option for them. I've seen lots with stops, but not the nonstop come up as a partner option. So I suspect I'm going to have to book that one direct through Singapore Airlines. And that right there, that's probably 600,000 points for the 4 of us going. It looks so. I'm planning for that. And then I don't know what I'll use to get to Bali, but I need to figure that one out too.
You can oftentimes book from New York straight through Singapore and then into Bali or Bali back through Singapore into New York. So usually when people are connecting into places where we don't have direct flights like Philippines, Bali, Thailand, Singapore Airlines is a good option for that too.
That was definitely on my thought. I'm like, either that or I also want to look at Q Suites or Emirates as a possibility, one through the Middle East, just to check out something else.
Yeah, Turkish is also very favorably priced. It's a long, long way to fly from New York through Turkey, or if you're going through the Middle East anyway, it's going to be around the same length of time. So it's definitely a long way around, but it's very favorably priced with Turkish if you have a lot of Capital One points. So with everything that you have learned about points and miles, mistakes made, wins won, what would you say is your number one best piece of advice for listeners today?
I would say it's not a race, and to really take your time and figure out what you want to do, and that you don't need to rush to open 10,000 cards at one time and think about what you want to do more than I did when I started, because I definitely didn't think about it. And I had a cashback card, and then my next card was a United card. So yeah, I didn't really think about what I was doing whenever I first started getting into this. And I certainly didn't know about all of the resources that were out there that could help you, like GeoBreeze or 10X Travel or all of the different places that there you could go to get advice or get ideas. So I would say take it slow and don't jump into it and just open up any card under the sun. Really have a strategy and know what you're doing, because I didn't, and I wish I would have. I know a lot more now than I did when I was starting this. If I could go back and do it now, I wouldn't do the same thing I did then.
Yeah, it's definitely a marathon, and you want to stay sustainable in your strategy. I know there's so much content on Instagram and the internet that makes it seem like everybody is constantly traveling all the time and people feel left out when they're not constantly on vacation. But again, I like to remind people, I'm not even constantly on vacation. All of these podcasts are recorded from my office in our apartment. So taking it slow, taking a big trip or so every year, maybe 2 trips a year, is a completely fine pace for most people. So I love that advice. Well, thank you, Lisa, so much for coming on to the show and sharing your wins with us. I am so proud of everything that you have accomplished as a Points Accelerator student. So congratulations again on all of the fantastic trips that you and your family have gotten to take.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You've taught me a ton. I appreciate that.
For sure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels! Thank you.